Welcome to Federal Insights for June, sponsored by Thundercat Technology in partnership with Dell Technologies.
The Navy, through its Office of Naval Research, is pursuing artificial intelligence applications in a big way. For an update, I spoke with the Chief Information Officer of the Office of Naval Research, Curtis Pelzer, and the first voice you hear, the Navy's Chief AI Officer, Brett Vaughn. Let's begin with maybe a quick survey of the AI activities going on through the Naval Research Labs. I'm sorry.
Sure. So I'll take that one if you want, Curtis. Really, it covers a broad spectrum of our service responsibilities of man, train, equip, as well as warfighting, sustainment, and readiness. So part of my job is to raise awareness on AI across the service and put the service in an improved posture for the effective development and deployment of AI. There's really three big bucket areas that I use to describe where we're developing and putting AI to work. One is to just simply reduce toil across the service, right? So simple automation tools on the what I call the low rung of the AI evolutionary ladder, things that can be done quickly by machines that are rote for humans. The other area is AI for some level of autonomy in an unmanned system, right? These are robots or unmanned aerial vehicles or unmanned surface vehicles or unmanned underwater vehicles. And then the last big bucket is our decision aids. So some type of software code that increases the speed and quality of decision or decision making by a human, not to replace the decision making by the human, but to augment it. So those are really the three big areas, but we worry AI across the entire service.
And Mr. Pelzer, maybe give us a sense of the data requirements to feed all of the training of such a wide range of applications, such a wide range of algorithms. It really gets to be a matter in some degree of data management and pulling the right sets to get some sort of reasonable outcomes.
So on the data side of it, our data resides in several places on our network. We have data that pertains to contracts, that we invest in terms of the research that we're pursuing and how that data is being pulled to support our AI initiatives. Our data and analytics team works with that data and making sure that that data is provided and kept in the right data sets. Yeah, in terms of the stuff that I would have to defer to Mr. Vaughn on how they are leveraging those data sets. So I apologize for that, but
that's all right.
Probably explain a little.
Yeah, I could jump on that one, Curtis. So it's like Curtis says, you're going to find it in a lot of places. And really, almost any data is potentially data that could be used to fuel AI. It really depends on what problem you're trying to solve and where you are on what I call the compute continuum, right? You might be in the Pentagon and you are looking at one data condition. You might be at sea in the middle of the ocean. That's a very different data condition. So there's a calculus that goes on of picking the right type of AI for the problem you have. That's very important. And then once you have identified that AI can actually address your challenge or problem, you have to work through something we call the AI stack. Think of that as an ecosystem or the set of components that make up an AI capability. That's data, but it's also compute. It's also transport. It's models and it's algorithms and it's other things that all go into this, I like to use the word ecosystem because if all those layers or components are present and healthy, you are dropping an algorithm into a healthy ecosystem. And by the inverse, if any of those are missing or deficient, you've got a toxic ecosystem and the probability of success for your AI algorithm would decrease. So the stack, looks very different inside the Pentagon than it does on the bridge of a ship in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, as you could imagine. So there's a continuum, imagine all the way from the Pentagon, and this is kind of getting into Curtis's world, right? Where you have a data center or you have very robust cloud capabilities, and then that continuum extends all the way to, say, the middle of the ocean, where you have the opposite condition. We call that the edge, right? So from the Pentagon, if you were to work your way towards that ship in the middle of the ocean, you'd find a continuum that looks something like a data center, cloud, far edge, near edge, enterprise edge, and then the last one is a device edge, right? So you have to, very important that you keep the stack in frame and recognize where you are on that continuum. So it's a very, there's definitely an art and a science to composing AI in an effective manner.
So a couple of implications there then. One, that you really need not just an ecosystem of pieces of technology in that stack, but you also need an ecosystem of stakeholders and people Absolutely. In the Navy kill chain, if you will, to be involved in having a successful program.
Yeah, it's a very astute point you make there, Tom, because, you know, the technology, at least from my perspective, is in many ways pretty straightforward. The biggest challenge that especially an organization like the Navy has is the cultural and organizational, the business models that go into being an adept player on the AI field. And what I mean, it's a difference between industrial and digital, right? We're a very industrial organization. We weren't born digital, but AI is a very digital game. And unless we adopt, you know, good software engineering, digital first principles and practices, we'll struggle. Where we're better adapted to those principles and practices, we'll be better, more effective AI players. So, yeah, for me, this is critically and foremost. A cultural campaign for the Navy to accelerate adoption of AI.
Brett Vaughn, the Navy's Chief AI Officer, and Curtis Pelzer, Chief Information Officer of the Office of Naval Research. We'll be back with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
AI has the potential to transform government agencies, accelerating processes and mission-critical functions. Thundercat Technology, in partnership with Dell Technologies, can optimize your AI ecosystem, simplify sourcing, deployment, and management of infrastructure designed for the data era, with plenty of what your agency's AI use cases demand to deliver better outcomes in a hybrid cloud world. Learn about our AI experience and capabilities at thundercattech.com/partners/Dell Tech. The future is now.
Welcome back to our interview with Brett Vaughn, the Navy's Chief AI Officer, and Curtis Pelzer, Chief Information Officer of the Office of Naval Research. Our topic is artificial intelligence and the supporting infrastructure required for it. And let's talk about the ecosystem layer that is the compute and data and transport, because that gets into your data centers and where the data is held in the hybrid cloud architectures and so forth. And, of course, the Navy is in the cloud as much as any of the armed services. And so how do you architect or at least provide for in the infrastructure such that you can feed the AI activity while also maintaining all of the other services that the infrastructure provides for throughout the Navy traditionally?
Sure. So, again, depends on what you're trying to do. Right. It also depends on how you're using a given algorithm. Right. In other words, if you're training an algorithm, you're typically probably going to require cloud or a high performance compute environment or some pretty high horsepower processing. Right. If you're deploying that algorithm, not necessarily training it, you may not even need cloud at all. In fact, I can point to instances where I can run AI algorithms on a standard laptop with the compute that's there, and you don't really need cloud at all. But usually when you're talking about, especially like machine learning type of AI, where you need to train on a great amount of data, getting that data in a place, getting it curated, and running the training cycles necessary to train an algorithm, you're going to want, you know, cloud or HPC or something, some on-prem compute, 9 times out of 10. Until, I'd say, I'll just caveat that, because this is coming downrange, you know, in places where you traditionally don't have access to cloud today, companies, our industry, and the Navy, we're researching and developing this as well. Novel AI hardware, specialized AI hardware, like high-performance compute chips that can run on, say, a small aircraft or a small vessel, that would kind of counterweight, you know, or enhance your processing capability where you may not have robust access to robust cloud compute.
And Curtis, this sounds like a pretty big lift and demand on the CIO operation.
Absolutely. So one of the areas that we're focusing on is really trying to get that data to the cloud to take advantage of the computing power that's available in the cloud. So we've embarked on a program or a project to move all of our existing workloads out of our data center into the cloud environment. That includes not just our applications, but also our data. And I think that puts us in a position to take advantage of the resource in the cloud to be able to scale our environment on the demand that's needed, to be able to house our data and be able to provide the access to our data from AI tools, to be able to take advantage of that. So we put together a short-term plan for getting us to the cloud, commercial cloud environment by the end of the year. So that will most certainly help us be able to provide access to that data in a meaningful way and be able to scale our environment like we haven't been able to do before.
Yeah, a couple of implications there too then. One is that you can use the scalability, as you mentioned, of the cloud compute resource itself. But also important, I think, for sustainability of this type of work is if your applications and your data go to the cloud, you don't need to download the data anymore and you avoid all sorts of costs. And with the application there, it can just send you the answer, so to speak. Fair way to put it?
Absolutely. And I think more importantly, the acceleration piece. And what I mean by that, being able to provide that capability faster. So what we do today, because we're so hardware driven, is if I needed additional storage, I got to go out and buy hardware. Today, I just provision that storage to meet my needs within a cloud environment. So that scalability, that acceleration piece to be able to provide that capability when needed will most certainly help us as well.
And do you use multiple clouds for this? I mean, it's not just a single provider, correct?
Absolutely. Multiple cloud environments. Yes.
And do you find that from cloud to cloud, and don't need to name names or companies, but from cloud to cloud provider, do they have subtly or maybe not so subtly differing capabilities such that one might be well tuned for training one type of application and another for another?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the cloud interoperability then is not as big an issue in this situation as it might be in some of the others.
No, not at all. The interoperability piece, we're finding that's there. It's just how fast that you can move and make those resources available when you need them. So as I mentioned, the acceleration piece, not only in terms of being able to get to the cloud and be able to take advantage of those capabilities, but sometimes the process put in place to harness those resources aren't as efficient as you would like them to be to get you there quicker. So that tends to slow you down a little.
Brett Vaughn, the Navy's Chief AI Officer, and Curtis Pelzer, Chief Information Officer of the Office of Naval Research. We'll be back with the third and final segment of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
AI has the potential to transform government agencies, accelerating processes and mission-critical functions. Thundercat Technology, in partnership with Dell Technologies, can optimize your AI ecosystem, simplify sourcing, deployment, and management of infrastructure designed for the data era, with plenty of what your agency's AI use cases demand to deliver better outcomes in a hybrid cloud world. Learn about our AI experience and capabilities at thundercattech.com/partners/Dell Tech. The future is now.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Brett Vaughn, the Navy's Chief AI Officer, and Curtis Pelzer, Chief Information Officer of the Office of Naval Research. We've been discussing artificial intelligence and the infrastructure supported to develop it. And let me ask you this. Suppose we are talking about then the deployment of an algorithm that has been shown to produce the types of results that you need, that's repeatable, that it's accurate, but then it needs to be deployed, for example, at sea, not a bad way to look at it, at the Navy, when you're not going to have that cloud reach back. Then is there a way to, say, replicate the resources that you're getting from the cloud in a smaller scale sufficient to keep that vessel, suppose it's like a predictive maintenance application specific to that particular platform or that copy of that platform, can that happen so that you take it down from the cloud, it's trained, now you put it on something where, you know, ships have limited power and compute capability?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tom. And like Curtis said, I mean, it's the one thing I'd stress there is the speed factor. Like Curtis says, the AI game, if you really want to move the needle, is about scaling and achieving a certain degree of velocity in the way you develop and deploy these algorithms. It's unlike, at least for the Navy, it's common in industry. If you're a Silicon Valley company, you're used to this kind of pace. But for the Navy, it's an adjustment. So we're working our way there. You won't get there. You won't achieve those speeds without something like a compute like the cloud or HPC or these kind of things. What I'll say, though, is, you know, I described that continuum, right? So from the Pentagon to sea and in between, right? So again, now imagine that in really two modes, where from a data center, you're moving data to the algorithms. That's what Curtis referred to when he says we're moving data to the cloud. And then from there, what we'd like to do in every case where it's possible is that the opposite. Not move a lot of data, move the algorithms to the data. So at the first part of that spectrum, you're moving data to algorithms. On the second half of that spectrum, from the mid to the edge, you want to be moving your algorithms to where the data exists. But like you said, having been trained, and we can replicate those conditions, we'll train the algorithms somewhere where we have the compute. And if we do it right, it's operationalized at the edge, and it's doing what it was built to do. But one important point, you can imagine conditions change, right? So there's a very critical and important loop here. But even if once you deploy that algorithm, you have to what I call sustain that stack. So not only do you have to compose the stack and keep it, you got to keep it coherent and resilient, and it will degrade on a technologic basis, but it may also degrade based on the actions of certain actors out in the operational environment, right? This where, you know, adversarial AI comes into play, where you have an AI that's going to recognize a stop sign, right? Some kid puts a piece of duct tape on it, and now the AI says it's a turtle or something like that, right? You can tune the algorithm to recognize that, but only after it's seen it once, right? And then you've tweaked it back where you've got the processing and you've tuned it, and now it's ready. The next time it sees it, it's adjusted and it's tuned to that new condition. That's a never-ending cycle, really. You have to be able to do that. So you have to be able to move back and forth on that compute continuum. Cloud's a very important piece of that. For me, I'll just say that most of the instances when you talk about the big commercial cloud providers today, they're typically going to be driving, an environment like the Pentagon or big corporation organization that's here, CONUS. You're going to be shifting to a slightly different model as you make your way out to the edge. And I'll just say again that there's some really fascinating advancements being made in the commercial industry right now on computing and high power processing that will give us the kind of agility and the velocity that Curtis was talking about.
Brett Vaughn, the Navy's Chief AI Officer, and Curtis Pelzer, Chief Information Officer of the Office of Naval Research. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for June, sponsored by Thundercat Technology, in partnership with Dell Technologies on Federal News Network.
AI has the potential to transform government agencies, accelerating processes and mission-critical functions. Thundercat Technology, in partnership with Dell Technologies, can optimize your AI ecosystem, simplify sourcing, deployment, and management of infrastructure designed for the data era, with plenty of what your agency's AI use cases demand to deliver better outcomes in a hybrid cloud world. Learn about our AI experience and capabilities at thundercattech.com/partners/Dell Tech. The future is now.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines, but most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets, anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Knowledge is power, but finding that knowledge can be powerfully frustrating. GovWhitePapers is your solution. At GovWhitePapers, you can search the most current content to discover the best practices government and industry are sharing. Topics include AI, cybersecurity, citizen engagement, IT, public safety, cloud computing, big data, defense, and so much more. Your free membership provides you instant access to over 1,000 whitepapers, case studies, ebooks, and infographics. Visit govwhitepapers.com today. That's govwhitepapers.com.
Here's Dominic Cossat from the Department of Veterans Affairs on the Federal Executive Forum on IT Modernization, sponsored by Cloudera.
We're focusing in five areas: customer service to our veterans, IT modernization through updated software and infrastructure, strategic sourcing is the third, the fourth is investing in our IT workforce, and then finally, achieving a seamless and secure interoperability.
To listen to the whole program from Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Federal Executive Forum.
Data travels at the speed of light, moving past us in every direction. It's easy to feel overwhelmed in the chaos of it all. But what if you could take it all in? Refocus it, filter it, direct it. What would you discover? Something profound? Something beautiful? Something that moves you? The right data moves leaders and organizations to bring their vision to life. Cloudera, data that moves you.
Download the Federal News Network app and take the news that matters to you and your agency's mission on the go. Download the app to listen to Federal News Network live and on demand. Download the app to get news alerts on stories that impact the federal community. Download the app to learn about changes to your pay and benefits. The Federal News Network app. Download it in the App Store or on Google Play. Sponsored by WEPA. WEPA, group term life insurance for feds by feds.